It's asking more questions, gaining more knowledge, gaining an understanding on how to better work with people.
Welcome to Leadership in Manufacturing Podcast, your go-to resource for mastering leadership excellence in the dynamic world of electronics. I'm your host, Sanne Winding, and I'm so excited you're here. I'm here to bring you insightful interviews with industry leaders from distribution, the manufacturing sector, and also manufacturing reps. Before we start, I have a small request. If you're enjoying our podcast on platforms like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please hit the follow button. Your support is going to help us to bring in even more amazing guests to share the valuable knowledge. So thank you for listening in. If you want to learn more, check out our website. It's called leadershipinmanufacturing.com. Welcome to Leadership in Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Sanne Winding, and this is the podcast that enhances your leadership journey in electronics with insight and knowledge from industry leaders. I have a little favor. If you could hit that subscribe button, maybe you're listening to Apple Podcasts or to Spotify, or maybe you're watching on YouTube, please give it a like and subscribe. So back to the show. I want to introduce today's guest, Deb Speer. Deb is a strategic sales leader with over two decades of experience in sales management and business development, currently serving as the global distribution sales manager at Fairlight Products. She specializes in driving business growth through tactical strategies, high-performance team leadership, and cultivating exceptional customer relationship. With top skills in product management, sales, and international sales, she's known for her expertise in expanding market share, driving revenue, and boosting profitability. So welcome to the show, Deb. I'm looking forward to hear your perspective on the industry.
Oh, thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
Awesome. So I always love to, get started to say, the passion, right? Because we always have different passions for the industry. So if you could share, what's your passion for the electronics industry?
I think I've got two passions, and it comes together as I love the industry as a whole. And through the years, I've been able to develop certain areas in the industry that I really like a lot. And then there's others that I kind of try to run away from. But I love the rep model overall. I think the rep model it's interesting and it's dynamic if it's played well.
Yeah.
And I also like the distribution model. And that's why I think right now I'm in a good place from a standpoint where I really am able to work with our distributors on a global level. And on the sideline, we have great reps that I work with as well.
Yeah. So let's go into this, right? Because it's like dynamic, right? You're the manufacturer, you have the manufacturing reps, and you have distribution. So what kind of tactical strategies do you use to have effective communication?
I think the most important thing that I've learned over the years is really being able to take the time, ask the questions, and understand the reps out there.
Yeah.
Every rep, you look at a manufacturer's rep and you have suppliers go, yeah, we've got manufacturer's reps. But do they really take the time to get to understand each rep organization and understand the value proposition behind each rep organization? Because every rep organization works differently.
Yeah.
A lot of them have different goals, different objectives. And so I always looked at it as a supplier, let's understand them so we can get the best out of it. So how are they compensated? Not what they're compensated, but how are they compensated? What is their approach to business? What is the market? Do they have a market preference?
Yeah.
Do they have market strengths? And then the same thing with distribution. Not all distributors are the same. We have such a diverse group of distributors out there, understanding how they work. What's their business model? What is their benefit factor? What's their value proposition? How do they go to market?
Yeah.
How are their people paid? How are they incentivized? And I think those things are really, really important. And that's where if you can get the manufacturer, meaning supplier like myself, with that rep, and then pull it over into distribution, it's a really good partnership.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that. And it's all about how you communicate and making sure that everybody is actually on the same page, even though people are different, right? Or companies are different. I want to ask you as well, because again, the whole pandemic, even though I know now it's a couple of years behind us, but the world has changed. And I'm sure that has changed, where you are as well, of how you've been communicating, or how do you do product training, or how do you share? So how has your weekly routine have changed of how you communicate, even if it's, if it's with distribution, or maybe it's you with the manufacturing reps?
So much of it has done for myself through Teams. And I, you know, but I think what's different and so different nowadays than before is we just don't pick up the phone and call somebody anymore. It's like, okay, do you have time for a Teams meeting? Instead of just picking up the phone and calling. I mean, somebody does call me, it's like, what's wrong? You know, is there something going on? But I really think the focal point nowadays has been Teams. But with that same thing said, as good as we thought, or maybe I thought Teams was for, you know, communication and so forth, it still doesn't beat the one-on-one. It truly doesn't. I mean, that one-on-one in person is so important.
Yeah.
And I think that we as people need to understand that there is still such a huge value proposition there. We have to travel. Some companies have pulled back. Some managers go, no, 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 it's, you know, saves us money. So we don't have to go and see people in person. No. That is such, we still are people to people.
Yeah.
Still that one-on-one is so important to gain the relationships. And those relationships are the heart of our business.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also when you meet, you know, if it's a group of people, right, you can better remember that you had that connection or somebody was talking. It's easier to have that kind of flow. If you have like your team meetings or if you Zoom, it's only one person at a time. Right. So it's not giving the same dynamic.
And it's good to see the dynamics. Like you say, you know, how do people work together?
Yeah.
You know, what is the synergy between them? And you can actually, you see that, you know, it's like I have one rep that will remain nameless, but you know, working is fun. And I remember he said to me at the end of my trip, he says, I have not worked so hard in a week in a very long time, but I've not had as much fun either. He said, that's one thing that, you know, I try to bring to it. We've got to work hard. But during that time, you have to have some fun. Yeah. And that's what makes for the good business relationship as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you're building on it, right? And it's that relationship that you can bring in and then create successful stories or successful deals in the position you're in.
Because you want people to want to work with you.
Yeah.
If they want to work with you, that, you know, that makes life so much easier all the way around.
Yeah. So I want to go into you a little bit. So with all these changes, right, and you know, traveling.
Me?
Yeah, poor you. No, traveling and with teams. No, but what have you changed over the last couple of years? Have you changed the way you're working? Or, you know, what's you've been, you know, have you transformed?
I don't, that's a tough one. Because I have changed a little bit on how I'm working. A little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think my priorities have changed as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing, to have your priorities change. Did they shift because of the pandemic? I can't answer that. Or did they shift because my mindset has shifted?
Yeah.
You know, from the distribution world, you know, you look at, and right now, there's not a lot of distributors on my plate. I mean, when you look at other manufacturers and other suppliers, but really the goal there, which would have been different maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago, is to take the phenomenal distributors that I have right now and that we have and get to know them broader and deeper as far as the people within the organizations and gain a stronger understanding of, you know, where the hotspots are, where we need to gain mind share and how. And I think that's a different approach than I would have, you know, looked at and taken 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It's asking more questions, gaining more knowledge, gaining an understanding on how to better work with people.
I think if I look back and just putting my reflection on it, I think the pandemic made us, everyone in the industry and also outside the industry, right? If you use the word disruption, has put us, it gives us like a mindset or a way to work with thinking a little bit different, or maybe what you're saying, asking more questions. So I think that has like give us like a boost to get there. We would have been there anyway, but maybe not in the same speed. I think that's what I see from my side of the table.
I tend to agree. You know, the pandemic was a challenge for all of us, you know, and I think last year was a year of correction. This year is a year of transition.
Yeah.
And how are we all going to transition? And I think there's a lot of different approaches at that. You know, the way I'm going to transition might be different than the way One of the rep organizations is transitioning. But again, taking the time to asking the questions to understand helps me be a better person and a better support individual out there in the market.
Yeah, like it. Let's go into like, how do you educate your manufacturing reps? Because I'm sure, you know, by being a manufacturer, right, or a supplier, you're doing product training when you have new products that you introduce. But sometimes it's like you need to have that mind share with your manufacturing reps. So what's been successful for, you know, for you to get that mind share?
Well, one of the things that is important, and I go back to it, is gaining an understanding of what they need and how they want it. You know, my touch with the manufacturers is a little bit different now than it used to be in the past. You know, we have the way Ferrite works is we have ASMs that are first and foremost. But the big part of mine really goes back to understanding what do you need to make yourself successful with our product offering, because not everyone needs the same thing. You know, when I present, what are your interests? Share your markets so we can be specific.
Yeah.
Because so many times in the past, I think we've all sat through presentations and we've looked at them going, our eyes gloss over and go, really? Yeah. That doesn't even apply to me. Yeah. So it's being prepared and finding out what they need.
Yeah.
And working towards that, because it's our job to be able to help them to be successful. And without asking the questions and showing up and not giving them the information they require, it's a waste of time for everybody.
Yeah, agree. No, and I'm just smiling and laughing a little bit because you're saying with these presentation. No, but I think you also have to be honest, right? To even the generations, do you really need that history page, right? Showing when the company started, you're like, oh my God, right? You're just, if I see it from somebody else, I'm like, oh, come on, if I really want it, I'll go on your website and look at it. Let's get to the, you know, to the real stuff instead, right?
So I'm asked to do a presentation on, I know, in May 8th, I'm given 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know if they don't like me or what, but 15 minutes. So, you know, it's going to be features, benefits.
Yeah.
What is it? Features, benefits, registration program. This is for distribution.
Yeah.
Markets. And I've asked them, be specific. Tell me what markets you want to, you know, you're interested in.
Yeah.
It's all about, when I do something like that, it's all about them. It's not about me. It's about them. And they need to share with me what they're looking for. And that goes up to the communication and asking the questions.
Yeah.
You know, you can't assume. And so many times, oh my God, people will just assume that we are interested in their factory and what it looks like. We don't care what the factory looks like. We don't care how the factory's set up. Nope.
Yeah.
We just care about the bottom line and what's going to be able to give us the best fuel to get out there in the market and sell the product.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's, So being spot on, right? And time is so valuable right now. So just get to the, you know, get to the right details of what you want to talk about, and then get the get everybody to listen. That's the key. Okay, let's talk about a little bit how you learn, because I want to talk about that as well, because this is the Leadership Podcast. So when you how do you learn, right? Because we're all different, as we just talked about. Even if it's, you know, the reps or the distribution, right, or the companies, everybody's different. So want to go a little bit deeper with you.
Again, how I learn is I am one of those, I'm a visual learner. Okay. You can give me white papers, you can give me books. I'm good, but I am a huge visual learner. And that goes with the one-on-one conversations. So that goes back to, I ask a lot of questions. And some people will get in front of me and they'll go, oh my God, is she done yet?
Yeah.
But that's the big thing. Look, I become fascinated when I see I'm out on a floor taking a tour and I see a new application I've never seen before.
Yeah.
To me, that's an ideal, and our product is being put in there. How are they using it?
Yeah.
And why? And all the questions that I'm able to ask will help me in another scenario. And that is my biggest way of learning. I have a broad scope, a lot of interests.
Yeah.
And it just depends upon who I'm with. I mean, with distributors, learning is huge for me because that's a big part of my life right now. And being able to ask as many questions as I can to be able to gain their input to get the feedback is a really big for collaboration.
Yeah.
And that's another area that I think is huge too, is collaboration. You learn through collaborating with others. And when you come up with this idea and say, okay, we're going to do it this way, and not ask and not put those ideas out there, if you can come up with an idea or you have a solution and you engage people with that solution, it becomes such a better idea. Yeah. And others buy into it, and it really moves the needle forward.
Yeah,
with collaboration.
I don't know
if that really answered the question.
No, but it does, right?
Huge, yeah. Because it's learning through others, which is really important too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're building that relationship, right? Again, by asking the question, you're connecting and building your relationship, and you're making actually a much tighter, or maybe improve that collaboration. So I think when I'm listening, it really makes sense. So, but other skills, now I'm like testing you here. No. So if you want to give an advice, right? Because everybody heard this, mm-hmm. I'm saying we need new talent into the industry. So if you want to give an advice to somebody that's outside of the industry looking in and saying, should I jump in and should I give it a try? So beside of asking questions and having the collaboration, what other skill set or what advice would you give this kind of person?
I really think it's patience as well. You know, our industry is different from the outside looking in, because you can't really explain everything we do. It doesn't make sense. When you go into a doctor's office, there's a certain procedure that has to be used, you know, from the time you get in the door until the doctor sees you, it's a process. And that process remains basically the same. Within our industry, you know, we all have processes, but they don't remain the same. It's diverse.
Yeah.
And when you're looking for new blood and new young people to get into our industry, I think that you're going to have some special people out there. I think that we have a wonderful talent pool of young people, and bringing them in is important for us. Okay, that are bringing these young people in to understand where their mindset is.
Yeah.
How do they operate so we can get the best out of them, instead of saying, okay, we've got to hire young people, let's bring them in. Okay. And we're going to tell them everything they need to do. That's not going to work.
No.
I mean, there's so much we can learn from the younger folks that are, you know, graduating college,
yeah,
and want to get into our industry. And that's one of the areas that I really look for. I look for the spark in their eye. I look to see how they work and approach people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell if they have a passion. You can tell if they have an interest. And you can tell those that are just going to go, okay, yeah, I'm going through the motions. But do the best to bring the best out of them.
Yeah.
You know, not knock them down, because I've witnessed, you know, some people coming into the industry, and you get, you know, managers that have been around for quite a while, and they want to mold these people, in the young people, the newcomers, into what they feel they should be molded into,
yeah,
instead of getting the best out of them, asking the questions, understanding where their mindset is, taking them under the wing and giving them some examples, traveling with them, introducing them to different facets of our industry, I think are really key.
Yeah.
There's some really nice young talent out there. Some of our reps have hired some wonderful people lately, and I look forward to working with them more.
Yeah, and just to get this new angle, right, or perspective into the industry as well, I think it's awesome, because it opens up and like, oh my God, we don't need to do what we all have done, right? So, and that's good.
Yeah, and to get them engaged. I mean, when you see a young salesperson engaged with a young engineer, I mean, there's vitality there, and it's excitement. It's not like, you know, it's just different, even though a lot of them, you know, they really rely on the internet as their communication. And that's a good thing, because they can teach me and some of us how to go down that road and get the best out of it. So I really think it's a good value proposition on how we approach them and be able to, you know, pull that information out of them and understand how we can use them as a better resource.
Yeah.
They're our next generation of us, so to say.
Being themselves. Yeah. What about mentorship? Because I know that's a big interest for you as well. Yeah. Tell me more. Yeah.
It is a big interest of mine. I'm, you know, in the process of looking at locally doing some mentorships at the high school. I know that's totally out of our industry, but it's allowing me to better understand the youth of today and where their mindset is. And you got to work through all the little bit of red tape to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But it's important. It's important for me to be able to work with young women, especially, not singling out the guys, but in a form to have a presence of professionalism. You know, how to show up for an interview, what to wear for an interview. Yeah. I mean, because if we look at some of the TVs programs, how these gals show up would not be the way I would expect a young professional to show up for an interview today. So it's just weaning through those little points of, you know, having a little bit of business finesse, a little bit of professionalism, you know, put on the rounded neck and the little jacket, you know, the skirt that's a decent length. I mean, it's little things like that, and how to approach people.
Yeah.
And what to look for. That I know it's a little bit outside of the industry, but still, hopefully, I will be able to make an impact. And with some of the young folks, I did when I was in Chicago area. I did some mentorship programs back there.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm slow to establish that here in the South.
Oh, it will come. It will come. I think it's funny because a couple of years ago, when I was doing some interviews and had to add, you know, team members to my team, if the person, when I said I'm going to call you at this time, and the person picked up the phone, if the person didn't say their name, I'm like, even though I know, and maybe it's just telling my age, but I'm like, you know, it's the. This is like a official, right? It's a job interview. You should say your name, right? And there was other observation I did as well, was like, if they did not have good questions, I think you really need to, when you go to these interviews, right? You need to do some study around the company and make sure that you have some good questions and not just hunting to say, oh, I just want the title and the, you know, the salary. Go a little bit deeper, right? To find out what is the health or the temperature of this company.
That's a very good point, you know, because doing that research is so important. Also, you know, asking, again, I get back to the asking questions, you know, when they come to that interview, it's ask the questions. I mean, I think we've all done interviews with and had people show up and you wonder after they left, why did they even come? What was their motive?
Yeah.
You know, they checked off the box. We had an interview. But that's a huge point that you just made. Yes.
Yeah.
Interviewing process, and that gets into personal skills and personal business skills.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you see right now as well, right? That sometimes it's more the attitude of how you actually are problem solving that can get you the job, and not just always to say, hey, I have the paper here, right? To say that this is what I learned in school, or this is my background. I think that's so much more for the attitude that is helping everyone right now when you are looking for, or if you are looking for a new job.
It's the attitude, and if they can relay that they have common sense and logic, because we have so many people out there that are brilliant. They're great. They are great students.
Yeah.
They graduate, you know, very top in their class, but yet they have no common sense.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but it's really such a fine attribute to have.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, get away from the computer sometimes, right? No. Be human. Play some sports. No.
Yeah, all good. Yes.
All good. No. So I want to talk about again, because again, skill set, right? You also need to be organized, and time is valuable. So how do you stay organized with everything else? Because that, I'm sure that's a lot of input from all over.
I am probably, I have a messy closet. Okay. My mind is like that. I am one of those that, I could do a little better in that area.
We all can.
I really could. I have to have a lot of bowls up in the air one time. I have a very short attention span. So I'm one of those that, I keep what I can, copious notes on the side, and that's one of the things, because I talk to so many different people and I'm committed in so many different ways that I need to get back, or I need, and that's actually what keeps my juices flowing. I like to be able to have a little bit of disarray that I'm able to bring together, because it keeps me motivated, and it keeps me thinking from a standpoint where I'm always have new ideas. I try to have new ideas. Yeah. But those new ideas can be either a detriment or a benefit. And they can be a benefit when I share them and I get feedback. But I, from my travel schedule has been a little bit crazy, but that's a good thing. Keeps me in motion. But I do. I end up doing the little notepad to keep myself organized. And I know that's not very sophisticated, but it works. The other thing I do is when I make a commitment, I will tell a date and a time. I will have that to you by that day. And that's what keeps me straight. Ah. Okay. I'll have it to you by Tuesday.
Yeah.
That means I will definitely have it to you by Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's important for all of us, is to be able to give a commitment so people understand that it is coming. They understand that you've given the commitment, you've given a date, and that's when you're going to follow through.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, right, even if you don't have the full answer, you will do a follow up, right? So you actually have that commitment. Not that I'm saying you don't have. I'm just pointing at me instead.
No, love it when people when I don't have the answer. Because I don't have the answer, what's that mean? I've got to go back and research.
Follow up
it.
Again. Yeah.
And I get to follow through, and I get to talk to those people and go, hey, listen, this is what I found out, and move forward. And I think that's a valuable lesson too, to also getting back to teach the new folks that are coming into this market. It's okay not to have the answers.
Yeah.
It's sometimes beneficial, because that allows you to learn. I was out with someone a few weeks ago and I says, don't worry about it. I said, this is an opportunity. It's a good opportunity, because you do not know. You can go back and you know now how to respond.
Yeah.
Because when you go back and do your research, you've locked that away now.
Yeah.
And also you have provided value to that customer, because you did do the research and you did get back. So you're forming a positive relationship and you're gaining credibility.
Yeah.
So I've always looked at it as a good thing if I didn't know the answer.
Yeah. It's actually tying everything together here, right? Because it's like, ask the question, right? Build the relationship. And have the
community. And it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. I really like it. And it's also, I think I've learned over the years as well, it's okay to say that you don't know it. Right. And then do the research or find out who actually had the answer, and then get the whole group, get them together. And then you can move it from there. So, So I like it. What if we need to talk about advice. So if you have to give yourself an advice like 10 years ago, what kind of advice would you give yourself then?
Oh, my God. Sienna, there's so many advices that I would give myself.
Let's hear them.
I don't know if I could boil it down to just one, okay? It's a little bit tough. I think one of the most important things would be, and I'm going to tie a couple together, is really being humble. I think that is so important. And why it's important is because it allows people to know, one, you're real. You don't know everything. You have a passion, but yet you want to be able to learn through them. You want to be able to support them. And especially, changing a career, going from one phase to a different phase, when you realize, I really shouldn't answer that question. I'm just going to wait and we'll see how it goes. And if they ask my advice, I'll give it. But I really think being humble has been huge.
Yeah.
Again, I wished back in my career earlier, I would have taken the time and asked more questions. I know that we've heard that through this whole podcast about asking questions, but to me, that's important, because one, when you do ask the questions, you're showing interest. You're showing interest in the conversation or the situation. Two, when you ask your questions, you're also gaining new knowledge. And the big thing is, there's times when I would be given an answer to something and I would just accept it. But in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And you go back, and I never asked, but you know, in this past 10 years, I go back and ask, and it gives a good understanding on why people do things the way they do. And understanding that allows me as a person to work better within that scope. So I don't have to like maybe the way it's being done or the way they're doing it, but it allows me to understand and accept it. And if I can understand and accept it, then I can move forward to better work within it and be able to better support them as well. Whether it be a rep, whether it be a customer, whether it be a distributor, it's really understanding their value proposition and what's important to them. And asking the questions is key.
Yeah, I like it. I think I got the, you know, the title for the episode. No.
Ask questions. Ask questions. It is it. No, but it's just, to me, I think that is one of the most important things.
It is.
Because everybody will say, okay, I learned to be a good listener. I learned to, you know, not talk as much. You know, you get a lot of that. And I've heard a lot of it. But in the same sense, going along with that, building that relationship, getting people to, you know, feel that you understand them and you're truly interested by asking those questions.
Agree. Yeah. And I think there's also people, right, that's afraid of asking. So if you are in a bigger room or sitting there, right, and then you're asking or somebody is asking the question, somebody will always sit there and saying, oh, thank God that person asked because I didn't get it, right?
Yeah.
So, and I've been that person sometimes. No, I want to admit that. I'm saying, oh my God.
No, it's true.
I didn't have to show, right, that I didn't know that word or what was going on. So, but it shows, it's so good to ask. And sometimes I'm as well, if somebody is giving me an answer and I'm still not getting it, I'm like, you have to, you know, please, you know, explain it one more time. And I think that's important as well. Right, to be honest. So I like your advice, you know, it's and we always learn, and the world is changing as well. So we can only do what we can do today, and we'll do something later next year, right?
It's true. And I do love the fact of asking questions. And I've gained a lot from it. And if I could pass that along to, you know, people out there, it's really it's dynamic. You get over that fear. Yeah. Of asking the questions once you do it a few times and move forward. But it's been a benefit.
You just ask it. So I love it. So if some of the listener wants to reach out to you, how can they connect with you?
Oh, very easy. they can reach me at my email address, which would be, I could give my Fairrite email address, but I don't think Fairrite would like that. So I can give my personal email address, which is deb@speer.haus.
Awesome. I'll put it in the show notes so it's easy to reach out to you.
Yes.
And also, on the episode page on leadershipinmanufacturing.com. So you will now get a lot of emails. No.
I would hope so. No, it's just been fun. I'm a basic person. I have basic beliefs, and that's how I approach business.
Awesome. So I really like this. I liked actually, you know, that we talked about how to ask the questions. I think it's so important that we all learn how to maybe ask better questions, but keep asking the questions, and also making sure that, like, if anybody's like younger coming into the industry, or it can be in any industry actually, right, that you keep asking the question, because this is how you learn. And it actually also built, right, a better relationship, if there's any collaboration between different organizations. So I think, you know, the ask the question is the answer to a lot of things here.
I'll keep asking questions. Thank you.
If you like Leadership in Manufacturing podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share the show wherever you get the podcast. Our podcast is for industry decision makers like yourself, providing a personalized experience to elevate your leadership journey. So be sure to tune in. You'll have access to a wealth of practical advice and innovative strategies, boosting and refining your leadership style. So check it out. It's on leadershipinmanufacturing.com. Remember, stay curious, keep learning. See you next time.